This episode of Branching Out is brought to you by Oak and Iron. Garden-to-glass cocktails using the freshest ingredients. Open 5 days a week at 2967 East Thousand Oaks Boulevard.
Welcome to Branching Out, a podcast presented by the reporters and editors of the Acorn newspapers, offering you a closer look at the news in your community.
It is Monday, January 18th, if you still think time is a thing.
I have a dream. Martin Luther King Day.
It is. Somebody was asking me yesterday, like, do you get Monday off? I'm like, why? I'm like, it's Martin Luther King Day. I'm like, no, we don't know.
We definitely don't.
We don't.
Any ones that are like wobblers, like you may get it off, yeah. We don't get it off.
No, the only days we get off, let me see if I get this.
Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Christmas Day.
Correct.
And New Year's Day.
Correct.
That's it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Easter falls on a Sunday, so.
Whatever. That's only slightly better than any service job I've ever had. This is Branching Out with the Acorn newspaper. I am Ian Bradley. I'm a reporter for the Acorn newspaper, joined as always by
Kyle Jory, editor of the Thousand Oaks Acorn.
So today we are going to be sitting down with Christina Cox, who is a reporter for the Moorpark Acorn. She's going to be talking to us about the situation with Moorpark Unified, like apparently all the students are available to go back in class.
And really schools in general. She's just one of our great education reporters, and I think that's an interesting element of what's going on with everything else closed down and shutting down. We have our schools going back.
Yeah, and after that, we're going to discuss vaccines and why it will be a long time before either Kyle or I get a vaccine.
Exactly.
Stay tuned.
We are joined today by Moorpark Acorn reporter Christina Cox, who, in addition to covering Moorpark schools, also covers the community college district. I want to have her on because as this surge with new COVID cases hits Ventura County and Los Angeles County, a big matter that has come up again and again is, of course, our schools and whether our kids should either go back, continue attending class. And Moorpark is in a unique position because they, I think, are one of the few school districts in all of Ventura County that has had, non-private schools that has had all grades back, right, Christina?
Yeah, they've been back since late October, K-12. Students had the option to choose in-person or online, and so some students have been in-person for 3 or 4 months now.
So they are really the biggest test case, and we should point out that they're one of our smaller districts, one high school. So they are in a different position than a lot of our districts. But what has been, up until this surge, what has been the outcome of kids being back on campus? Have there been any schools that have closed, any huge outbreaks?
There hasn't been any huge outbreaks. We haven't hit that 5% threshold where schools need to hit to be closed by Ventura County Public Health. But there have been some cases on campus. At the most recent board meeting, Superintendent Kelly Hayes said that most of those cases were brought into school. They weren't contracted at school. There was a potential case of a student-to-teacher spread, but that was after the Thanksgiving holiday, but they hadn't confirmed it yet. They're still investigating.
And Moorpark, like a lot of districts, they're making all these numbers publicly available, right?
They've had a COVID dashboard available since before they went back to school, and so it's active right now. Anybody can go look online and see how many teachers and students currently have been diagnosed with COVID.
Okay, because I know we have one of those as well in Canoe Valley Unified. Now, I think there's been some discussion of how timely they are and how accurate they are, because I think they have to wait for confirmation from the county. They hear about a case, and they have to get it confirmed. And it's the same situation in Canoe Valley where you go through the different campuses and you see cases. It's not like you don't, but the argument is they're not being spread at school.
Yeah, that's the argument for Moorpark Unified, at least. They think that most of it is community spread, people just out in public or gathering, especially over the holidays, is where most of that came from.
So here in Thousand Oaks, and I know in Camarillo as well, there were a lot of meetings this week, and because all the districts had kind of looked as January, as here's our, even though Moorpark's been back since October, the other districts said January, things should be better by then, and a lot of them targeted January 19th, the start of the semester, and as recently as January 5th, our school board had met and said, hey, we're going full steam ahead with this, and then as all of us have watched those cases just creep up, I mean, every day. a new record in hospitalizations. I mean, I think we're up to 1,000 cases a day. I think people, especially teachers, started saying, wait a second, should we take another look at this? And in the situation Caneo Valley Unified, they voted actually to the high schoolers, and the other students are going to go back, but in the high school situation, only do it 2 days a week. Now, Moorpark is still, despite the surge, going back 4 days a week, as far as you know?
Yeah, as far as I know, this Tuesday they'll be back to school. All students who want to be back in school will be there. They did take 2 weeks off after winter break just to avoid any post-holiday surge. So they've been online for the past 2 weeks, but they have all intention of bringing all the students back.
Wow. Now, and is it with what you've heard is that's where parents really, the majority want the kids back. What has the teachers' union been saying?
The teachers are kind of split. It's kind of gone back and forth at each meeting. I know before they officially decided to go back to school, a large swath of teachers in the teachers' union said, we don't want to be back. We want to remain online. But after the decision was made to bring all teachers and students back, I think teachers have kind of adapted to it, but they want consistency. It's kind of been the unifying message throughout these past couple of months. They want students to either be all back or all online. They think the back and forth is really tough for students to keep being able to learn.
Yeah, and it seems to be a lot more fear at the high school level, right? And you can see where they're coming from. We're talking about a lot more students, and this idea that if you're in elementary, you come to school with your mom or dad, you're dropped off, you stay in your cohort, whereas high school kids can go around and travel. And I've also heard a lot of talk of their fear that they just won't obey the rules, the mask rules or the gathering, social distancing. Have you heard any of that? Has there been complaints about students not following the rules in Moorpark that you've heard?
I think more of the complaints are about students not following the rules once they're outside of school and then somehow getting sick and then bringing it back to the classroom. But most teachers and administrators have said when students are on campus, they're pretty good about following the rules. I think they know that they're being watched and kind of they'll be corrected if they don't follow the rules. But most of the concerns have been outside the classroom. Even the little kids are really good, apparently, about keeping their masks on.
Can you speak to, because I have contacts who have friends in the Moorpark School District, and admittedly, these interviews were taking place a few months ago, but the stories they were telling about sanitizing the classrooms and the PPE and, like, all that kind of stuff was just saying, like, yeah, Moorpark's open, but it's a mess. Like, our district is looking to them as an example, and we don't like that because we know what's going on in those classrooms. What's the situation there?
So when they first went back to school, the maintenance division was handling the cleaning in between classes and between cohorts. But now, because they've kind of changed their schedule, students will be in charge of cleaning their own desks between each classroom.
Teenagers are notoriously good at cleaning up after themselves.
Yeah, they released a little video teaching kids how to clean their desks with a sanitizing wipe, but we'll see how effective it ends up being. But that's a new thing that's coming next week.
What I've been surprised is there has been a lot of talk of moving students outside. I mean, they are going indoors. Has there been a lot of money that you know spent in terms of filtration on these different safety measures? Is that all going on?
I believe so, yeah. It's kind of been focused on those areas that are most needed, kind of the biggest fix items that they need to do. So I know that they fix some filtration systems. They've obviously offered a lot of hand sanitizer, things like that. But I think they're keeping doors open when they can and bringing students outside when they can. A lot of money from Moorpark, at least, went to upgrading technology since they weren't a one-to-one district before. So they had to buy all new Wi-Fi and things like that. So I think a lot of the money went towards that instead of perhaps towards air filtration systems.
I think what another confusion is just the state rules, and we speak about Las Virgenes that Ian covers, that has not really gone back beyond a waiver. The rules now are because of the surge, if they wanted to go back, they couldn't. And so I think teachers are saying, wait a second, Las Virgenes and other districts that want to open, they can't. They're saying it's too bad. But yet we're being allowed to reopen. But there's been no new guidance, right? The rules have been, if you started opening like Moorpark did in October, right, and Caneo Valley did in November, the guidance is to stay open. And I think that's really hard for some to grasp, and they keep looking to the state or the county, especially given the surge, about new guidance. But it's still, right, that's been the order from the beginning.
Yeah, it's still the same as it's always been. I know Moorpark was really worried when they took those 2 weeks off that they wouldn't be allowed to reopen, and that was a huge concern. And yeah. Ventura County Public Health said, nope, the rules are the same. If you want to close and reopen, you can, because you were open before.
Yeah, I mean, and you can see where they're struggling, because I think generally they're just scared. They're seeing how much spread is in the community. Now, they're looking at what the school districts have the advantage of, right, Christina, is that they're looking by zip code, right? They really have the narrowed down. The numbers that we see usually are countywide or maybe by city, but they're looking at individually how Moorpark is doing, right? Have you heard that come up? I mean, is Moorpark doing better, say, per capita than another city or another place?
I would say it's pretty even with other cities. I wouldn't say Moorpark is doing exceptionally better about stopping or slowing the spread of COVID. I mean, Moorpark City Hall had to close because they had an outbreak last week. Yeah. I mean, after Thanksgiving, they did have some increase in cases, and that was their biggest surge. And so they're a little concerned, I think, about what this next month will bring, but I think they're doing the wait and see approach, and if they have to close, they will.
They will, and you, and like you mentioned earlier, there is a trigger in place, right? And that's so 5% at one time of a school body has test positive, they have to close down.
Yes, if 5% of students and staff combined, just the whole campus population test positive, Ventura County Public Health will shut down the school for however long they feel is necessary to stop the spread and clean the classrooms.
Now, given how admittedly easy it is to get tests, how do they do, is there somebody coming through and testing the entire student and or campus population at one point, or is it everybody just goes to get tests and if enough of them come, that seems like not the best metric for deciding if 5% of the campus is.
Yeah, so they'll require a classroom to be tested or to quarantine at home if a student or teacher in the classroom tests positive, and that's usually what triggers testing.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise people aren't just going out and getting tested.
No, and they're not. I mean, teachers still have to go just like you or me if they want to get tested. I don't think they've set up a system now to just get teachers tested.
Yeah, they're being directed towards the county's testing system.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough call, but it was really interesting during Wednesday night's meeting in Kaneo Valley Unified, where we have a progressive board now. They were saying, hey, we can't go against public health experts. This is what the governor said. This is what Gavin Newsom, this is what state public health has said. And so we're going to stick with it, you know, despite all the concerns. And I kept thinking they were hoping that the numbers might just maybe break for a minute and just say, hey, things are looking better. But it just didn't afford that. I mean, even as of this week, we continue to see the numbers going up. But it's a tough call, and I think parents in general and students want to be back, and that's the tough thing to tell teachers, but we'll see the outcome soon, because like I said, they're going back in many districts. In Moorpark, you said Tuesday, where this will come out on Monday, but they'll come out
Tuesday. Yeah, all K through 12 will be back
in Kaneo Valley soon after that. So
yeah, Moorpark surveyed their teachers and their parents, and parents overwhelmingly wanted to go back, whereas teachers overwhelmingly wanted to stay home.
And what about, really quick, what about high school students? Because I was joking, my buddy was saying that a lot of high schoolers now suddenly were asking to go remote. Yes. And he was saying, well, is it because they're scared or because they just are so used to going remote and enjoy it?
I think they just enjoy being remote, honestly. I know Moorpark has had fewer students return for in-person learning. Their numbers have gone down for students who opted for that choice.
And is that obvious? I mean, think about it. I mean, my daughter, she's a senior at Agora High School. I don't think she's in a huge rush. I mean, she gets up, she goes in class for a couple hours a day.
Yeah, you get to lay in bed and go to class.
Can you imagine? I mean, I just try to think that we say, oh, these kids really want to get back, and we hear parents saying that. But the reality is, I don't think there's the same urgency, you know.
The question that I would be really interested to hear answered, and I don't imagine that you are able to, just because we're not in touch with the youth culture. But, like, I know last year when this whole thing started, seniors were really annoyed because they were missing out on so many, like, seminal moments of their senior year. I'm wondering if the kids who are seniors now are handling that with more grace, because it's just, like, they went into senior year, this being the case, and they're just, like, they've given up all hope of having prom, having senior ditch day, having those, you know, hallmark moments of senior year. Like you're saying, your daughter, your stepdaughter is very cool with being distanced. I don't know. Have you spoken to her about, you know, missing prom?
Yeah,
and all
no.
That?
I think that's when they'll start to feel it. And I think they're holding out hope. I mean, I think they still have a senior trip plan. There's so many things that are just in line that it seems less likely that it's going to happen. But they have that hope. It's still there.
Yeah.
And so she's not as anxious maybe to get back in the classroom for that reasons. But I know she's part of student government. She plans those events. I think she's anxious to see that go back. And what is the state right now in Las Virgenes? Is February, you said, is the...
So Las Virgenes, they had first and second graders back on a waiver. And then through the special ed allowance through the county, they were bringing back their third graders. And then they also had special ed kids up through fifth grade back. But because of the numbers, they're taking a three-week break. Campus is entirely closed except for special ed student assessments. But otherwise, all education is back to distance learning for 3 weeks until February 1st. But if things don't change, I imagine that break will get extended.
But the state, if they say they wanted to send the high schools back in Las Vegas, they couldn't, right? Because of the same rule we talked about.
Yeah, they weren't in class beforehand.
Yeah,
they're
so
not.
What is it? Is it the red tier, or do we have to be back to purple? I'm almost forgot.
It's red tier for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or no,
so on that brief period that we were in that time, Norfolk took advantage of it.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
just
think
back.
About that, because I'm sorry, but the red tier, it seems so far
it's
away.
So far right now.
I mean, I was thinking, oh, if we get back to purple, but I mean, right now, I mean, I just checked where, you know, the case rate in Ventura County is 70. To get to red, I think it has to be 5, you know? So that seems almost impossible. I don't want to end this on a negative note, but.
Well, allow me to, you know, add more negativity to, you know, balance you out. If your caseload in Ventura is 70 and it needs to be 5, imagine what the people in L.A. County, like Las Virgenes, are looking at. Because I think the last numbers I saw coming out of L.A. were like 17,000 cases in one day.
Well, and it's all an adjusted rate. Because I think the unadjusted rate is 130 right now in Ventura County. Yeah, I mean, they don't usually put that number out there. But you have a school board that's interesting that really did want kids back. And
oh, very much so.
Yeah, we had Dan Stepanowski here, but they can't go back even if they wanted to. That's what's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the whole school board. There were members of the board who were much more vocal than others in reaching out to me, at least.
Well, Christina, thanks for coming in. I did want to congratulate you. I saw that you recently completed a master's degree.
Thank you.
None of us knew. I mean, I didn't know that you're even working on, so congratulations. Can you say a little bit about it?
It was at Georgetown University. It was online, and I got my master's in PR and corporate communications.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Of course, the immediate Acorn reaction is a freak out that Christina is leaving us, but.
Well,
I'm here.
The immediate journalist reaction is PR, really?
I know. Well.
All right. Well, thanks, Christina.
Thanks.
I want to take a moment to recognize our sponsor, Oak and Iron. Oak and Iron Craft Cocktail Bar is still closed because of state orders, but they are doing just amazing things online. For instance, on New Year's Eve, of course, was staying in safely, needed something to kind of pick up the night, jumped right on shopoakandiron.com, was able to pull up the cocktails that I enjoy, that I used to go there and have myself. I showed up, they're ready in under 30 minutes. They sent me with a little package, was able to take it home. You add ice, and it's like you're at the bar. And in these times where it's so hard to stay in and follow the rules and not want to go out, I just think Oak and Iron is doing something really special and unique here. And it's a great option if you're going to stay in and with your significant other or your non-significant other.
Wow.
And just and have a drink. So please go check out shopoakandiron.com, see what they have to offer, support them, and tell them Branching Out sent you.
There's Kyle with our advertisements and some backhanded comments about my love life. Shop at Oak and Iron.
So, Kyle, when do you think you'll get vaccinated?
Well, I was, before we started the show, I was looking through my little list here, and it looks like it could be a little while. But we've been trying to tell people for months, and it seems like none of them listened, that the rollout was going to take some time. They got here in December, the vaccines arrived, which considering everything was kind of a miracle. But now that they're here, people want them, and they want them in mass. And we found out just this week how badly they do want it. And it's creating a real headache, not only here, obviously, in Ventura County, but in LA County, because demand is so high. And, of course, the state system had a big flaw in it, and now we're dealing with a big headache. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of blame to go around, and I don't think we can pinpoint it on this podcast of why that's happening. But I don't think it's got through to people just how limited the supply is, because that's come up in discussions already. So let's get right to it. This week, for the very first time, the County of Ventura opened up an online registration system for those wanting to get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, they've been doing these very targeted distributions at hospitals, at licensed medical facilities, senior care living. Those were some of the first people to get it. We saw the photos, right, of the nurses and the ER doctors getting it. Well, now that they've reached everyone in those direct settings, there's still a lot of people that qualify under what's known as, and it's so confusing, instead of doing right phase 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
right,
it's phase A, B, C, and then there's even tiers within those different phases.
Look, I mean, if you remember back to the original ranking of counties when this whole pandemic started, it makes perfect sense.
That it would go like this, right?
Yeah. I'm expecting a color-coded reorganization of the tiers. any day now.
So what we are in is what is called, and I don't want to bore you, it's basically phase 1A. And really, it's to sum it up, it's anyone in a health-related field. So this could be or medical first responders. So, of course, in addition to your doctors and ER staff, we're talking about home health care, talking about primary care clinics. I think I saw acupuncturists on this list, people that work in rehabs, anyone, or say you even you're a cleaning staff at a hospital. Again, you're entitled to it. So this is a fairly large group.
Yeah.
In Ventura County, they say it's about 30,000 to 35,000 people. So they're still in the midst of trying to get everyone vaccinated. And there was some debate to begin with, you know, who should have been in that first group.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it surrounded seniors. Shouldn't our seniors who have been dying
at the
highest
rate? Well,
they're
the most likely to take an ICU bed, which Southern California currently has none of.
But the CDC, that's not how they decided it. And so from the very start, seniors have been in our phase 1B. So that's the next phase of the rollout. But up until this week, seniors in California were designated as 75 and up. And so this week, the governor comes out and makes a big announcement and says, seniors are now going to be categorized as 65 and up. You know, it's many more people. And they are going to be eligible for the vaccine. Well, the problem with that is they were moved up in terms of in that phase 1B, but we're still in phase 1A.
Mm-hmm.
And so within hours of the governor making his announcement, a lot of senior citizens, or with the help of their kids or on their own, got onto the county's registration portal and booked an appointment to receive the vaccine. And what we found out is that the flaw in the system was that if you just click through, even if you didn't meet one of the qualifications, if you're not in that phase 1A, you still got an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whether you live in Ventura County. And I want to be clear. The rules are you have to live or work in the county. So you don't necessarily – if you work in Ventura County, yeah, you could get – but you live in L.A. County, you could get the vaccine. But they were taking everybody from everywhere,
yeah,
no matter the age. I guess and since then they've refined it to add more warnings, like please do not take a spot.
Right.
But what we got stuck with, within hours, every spot was taken. And now there are still healthcare workers saying, wait, what about me? I haven't got mine yet.
Right.
And so the county, and I'm sure it's in LA County the same thing, but I'll speak just for Ventura County. They are now going through the process of trying to ask those that have made an appointment, asking them to cancel it.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, because people are writing me saying, I have an appointment. I got a printout. It says to come at this time.
Right.
But if you show up there and you do not have proof of employment that you're in one of these groups, you are going to get turned away. And they are trying to get that message out there because it's not only and I think some people I've talked to said, well, I have my appointment. I might as well try.
Right.
The problem there is and then you're taking up a spot for somebody else that could get it.
Right.
So that's what I think some of these people that are saying. And it's kind of this every man for himself mentality. I mean and again, we're talking about – I mean, it's not just seniors, but they're a big group that has signed up already. And so it's hard. And I think I told you before we won the show, I got a call from someone. Our story came out yesterday. Becca and I worked together at the last minute to get the story out, basically warning seniors that you are not in this group.
Yeah.
Even though the state is saying you're eligible, you are not supposed to be in this group. Well, he called me and he said, you know – I'm 81. My wife is 79. I mean, obviously an at-risk group. My appointment isn't until the 30th. I'm just going to hold on to that. And maybe by then the rules would have changed. But and I asked the county about that, and they said, no, if you are not in 1A, you should be canceling your appointment.
Yeah.
But I just in practice, are they really going to be – that's what I asked yesterday, really. If someone in their 80s shows up for the vaccine, it's right there waiting for them. Are they going to be turned away? And they said unequivocally, yes. So now it's just this whole process of asking everyone who signed up and jumped ahead. But they're saying we didn't even know we were breaking any rules. I mean, and they let us sign up. And I was having a debate with people saying, just give it to them. I mean, they're in there. They're seniors. They need it. Why not give it to them? Yeah. They showed up.
Yeah.
But then the argument is, what about the healthcare workers that haven't gotten it yet?
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it's a tough thing because this all goes back to some people felt it should have been seniors to receive it in the first place.
In contrast to what's going on in Ventura County, you said there's an actual like sign up system in place.
Yeah.
I'm reading from the LA County Public Health website right now. They're explaining that the vaccines are safe. Here's when, like, find out when you can receive the vaccine. That'll take you to a link to the tiered system.
Yeah.
Will be free for everyone and will be offered to different groups in phases. It is likely to be available to the general public in spring, summer 2021. Please talk to your doctor or sign up for email updates to find out when the vaccine will be available to you. I don't have a doctor. So, like, it's incumbent on me to stay on top of this. Like, I have signed up for email updates, but the fact that there's not, like, a central sign-up thing in one of the most populous counties in the country
is a little bit frightening.
A little bit frightening, yeah.
But what people keep forgetting is that if they could start doing seniors now, they would, but they don't have enough supply on hand. And we don't have enough time in this episode to work out why that is, whether it's the supplies not coming to the state or the state not getting enough to the counties. But you need to remember there's only I'm told in Ventura County, demand is going to outpace supply within the next week.
I mean,
right now there's still doses.
I would say demand is already outpacing. Everybody wants it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, I mean, even if they wanted to start doing seniors, but I mean, what they're saying is, hey, we've already started 1A. Let us finish it. You know, let us get through these other people. You're very next in line in 1B. And 1B includes, I know that includes law enforcement is in 1B, essential workers. That's when our grocery store workers get it.
Wait a minute. 1B doesn't have law enforcement. LA County's 1B is education, childcare, emergency services. Oh, I guess that would be law enforcement. And food and agriculture. But then 1B tier 2, people who work in transportation and logistics, industrial, commercial, residential, and sheltering facilities and services. And critical manufacturing. Oh, also the incarcerated and the homeless.
Yeah, they will be getting it in.
I'm really curious to see how they're going to make sure that the homeless people, because it's not like I'm not saying, you know, maybe homeless people have smartphones or something, but it's like, how do they get that information to them? Are they going to be doing it through homeless outreach?
Yeah, I think a lot of it. I mean, as they do more, I mean, again, we're going to start seeing pharmacies, Ralph's, other places be set up for it. But it all depends on when we get the supply, and we don't have that yet, you know? And that's another thing I try to explain to people. If they open it up to all seniors now, that group is much bigger than 35,000 people in Ventura County. They would run out like this.
Kyle just pretended to snap.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that doesn't work on podcasting, does it? So that we'll eventually get there. So, I mean, but it's hard to say to a senior, like, hey, chill out, dude. You're going to get it next when, and I think what's making everybody that's contributing to this is the surge. I mean, we just have thousands of new cases every day. We're so close that people that are saying, I don't want to get sick now, right? When I'm literally weeks away. But it's really, again, we've been hearing these stories around the country about these different problems that come up with a rollout. And like, this came right on our doorstep this week. And, we'll see how it gets worked out because as I understand it, as they get people to cancel, they'll start to fill in and other people will be able to get it.
Yeah.
But right now, again, if you go on the portal, every spot is taken.
Yeah.
And so I see, I spoke to Andrea Gallagher with Senior Concerns, one of our local senior advocacy groups, nonprofit that does a daycare drop-off for adults in regular times. I said, what do you feel about this? Did the seniors, are they getting a raw deal here? And she said, you know, no, they need to understand that they're not in this group. And so the message they're getting, again, to everyone is you're taking a spot for somebody else, and major thing is you will be turned away. And right now, the only places they're going to open more, but right now the main spots are in Oxnard and Ventura. So if you're coming from East Simi Valley or even, I don't know, TO, I mean, we're talking about an hour and a half drive to get up to the fairgrounds to be told, sorry, go
That's
home.
That's not an hour and a half, is it?
From like East Simi Valley all the way to the fairgrounds?
Oh, from Simi. I thought you meant from T. Because I used to do this drive to Oxnard from here to Oxnard. That's like 45 minutes.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying if you're coming from Simi Valley, Valley, you could. So it's a difficult spot, but hopefully people listening, what I will say is that as soon as they get more supply, the idea is they'll move this timeline up. But right now, 1B, I don't know if you're hearing anything different in Los Angeles County, 1B is not due to start in Ventura County until February.
Yeah, it's estimated that 1B will start in February. We'll see we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I have to say, and this is just a personal gripe, but the fact, like, 1A, 1B, 1C, and then phase 2, which is everyone else, 16 to 49 without high-risk medical conditions, just make it four phases. Just make it four.
Yeah. It's so confusing to people. Yeah, and there's even different tiers. Phase 1A, tier 3, phase 1B,
right.
tier 1.
It doesn't, it's just making it more convoluted, more confusing, harder to keep track of. Like, you and I qualify as phase 1C, tier 1, because we are in the communications industry.
So we are behind, let me get this right, we are behind the incarcerated individuals. And the homeless.
We have homes that we can stay in to not get sick, but those people are stuck in more high-density situations.
No,
I know you don't think incarcerated people deserve their rights.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just – I mean, that's these debates that we've been having all week. I spoke to – you know who's really frustrated right now?
Everyone.
Are the veterinarians. The veterinarians right now, to begin with, were phase 1B. They obviously – have a public-facing job, and I'm told that pet emergencies are actually way up because more people are walking their dogs, more people have pets.
Yeah.
And so the state this week, the state medical board of vets issued guidance saying the state has said you will be moved up into 1A. But as of today, I just printed off the list of Ventura County. It still says veterinarians are not part of phase 1A. Public health is waiting for state guidance. But yet their organization told them they're available. So a bunch of veterinarians went up to the fairgrounds, went to get their shots, and were told, you know, sorry, come back. And so I have a guy saying, you know, hey, I mean, but I try to explain to him, you're in a lot of people's shoes. Becca did a real interesting story this week about cops versus firefighters. Who deserves to get it sooner? And both of them, although they're both technically listed in phase 1B, most firefighters already have it because they're EMTs.
Yeah.
So they're moved ahead of the sheriff's department, and there were some – I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but you can go round and round. I mean, cops deal with – there are a lot of situations where they get very close with people.
There are, but firefighters as EMTs, yeah, I think that makes sense. If you're working in any kind of medical in any kind of situation where you're going to be in medical contact with people, yeah, that it's why doctors and nurses got it first.
But cops respond to, overdoses.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. But they also call the firefighters who are the EMTs to the scene.
Yeah, I was getting a sense there's this great, you know, the thing is that everyone loves firefighters. We just had a fire last night. They did an amazing job and everyone cheered them on. And the cops sometimes feel like we're not as appreciated. And I even had a cop telling me they felt it was political, that it was almost like an anti-cop thing. That they weren't getting it sooner. But I'm just saying these fights are going on, and I certainly don't want to be like, well, journalists, we need to be ahead of or whatever field we're at. I think the biggest message we want to get out to people, if we can do a service, is try to be patient. I'm holding out hope that they will get a big influx of both of them and we can move everybody up. Just today we saw in Los Angeles County they opened Dodger Stadium up, which brings up a good point. What is Ventura County's equivalent of Dodger Stadium? Like, where are we going? What is our mass vaccination site? I mean, I was really going over my head. I mean, there's just not – we don't have a venue.
The fairgrounds.
I mean, that's a
– That's it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else right now. I've heard CLU football field, but there's no big, giant venue out here, you know?
Well, no, but I mean, there are more counties in California that are in that boat than that are in L.A. County's boat, you know? Like Humboldt, like where I went to school, like where are they going to go?
What's their giant
fairgrounds?
Place everyone goes at the fairgrounds, and they are starting to ask people to come. You know, it's really they're trying to find anybody who's licensed to give a shot. Whether you're a veterinarian,
Newsom did just certify dentists and pharmacy techs to start giving shots, which is great. It added like 100,000 to the rolls.
Wow.
I think it was.
Did veterinarian? I mean, people.
I didn't see anything about vets. Okay. It was just. Dentists and pharmacy techs.
Okay. Because that's the next step is once we get the vaccine, are we have enough people to give it out and distribute it, you know?
Yeah.
And we just – I hate to be negative, but – and I should point out, so the state did say on Wednesday after this whole mess when everybody booked up an appointment that they are going to come out with a new system next week.
Yeah.
That, right, it's going to – you'll get a text message or an email. It's going to let you know basically when your group is ready. And that same link will take you to the registration so that there won't be any mistakes of saying, oh, I thought I should have been eligible.
This is going to be like buying tickets for Coachella. or something. You're going to get the link, and it's going to be sold out unless you respond right away.
But aren't you scared of that? I mean, but see, that's why I think all those people that logged on Tuesday, they're so excited. Like, man, I'm in. You know, I have an appointment. I mean, so that I think that it's this kind of ripping it away from them. But this argument that, well, it's not their fault. It was they made an honest mistake. The mistake should be on the state. But should healthcare workers suffer because of that, you know? I mean, that's tough. But after what we saw, I mean, do we hold a lot of hope that the state system is going to work like a charm and everything will be worked out? We will see.
I think people are justified in asking or in saying, rather, look, it's been a year since this thing was detected. Why are there this many bugs in the rollout of the vaccine? Like, you guys have had all this time to plan for it. You knew it was coming. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. I tweeted this week what a benefit it is to live in a state of, like, Wyoming, where there's
450,000
people.
Already,
yeah, they already got it on Monday. And I'm, you know, again, and that's what makes it hard when you do, well, not Wyoming so much, but I'm seeing states, larger states like Texas, and saying they're getting through it quicker. And, you know, it's just a real mess right now. And we didn't get to talk about it today, and we've talked plenty a bit about the numbers, but yeah, you just have this happening at the same time that our cases are just through the roof. Yeah. And I guess we don't have time to get to that today, but what went wrong? This podcast, did we not send the right message to people? I mean, there's just so much blame going on. Like, why? How we got to this point? Was it?
Yeah, it's almost like Gavin Newsom doesn't listen to Branching Out.
Well, I guess we'll get to that in another episode. all right, well, let's sign off for the day. Hopefully you got some good information from this. We'll put a lot of it in the show notes as well. And if you have a parent who's over 65 and you hear this, please tell them. If they have an appointment, cancel it. Let the healthcare workers get it, and they will get it next. Spread the word. If they think they're going to sneak in and get it, they're going to be sorely surprised. So,
if you want to try and get it sooner, maybe take a shot at being homeless. I don't know how you'd prove that, but I also don't know how you would disprove it. So this is Ian Bradley. I'm reporting for the Acorn Newspapers. You can find me online at Ian_reports. Find my associate, Kyle B. Jory, online at Kyle B. Jory.
And please support our sponsor, Oak and Iron. I know you already heard my little ad about them, but I don't know. It's just quiet out there at a lot of businesses. So,
some say too quiet.
But you know what? This is a time more than ever. It feels like some of us are forgetting. Let's support those local businesses. I get a feeling we're getting closer to when we can start to see them reopening. It doesn't feel that way, but I bet we're a month off. But they need our help now. And if you're going to support them, why not support someone like Oak and Iron, who has supported Branching Out? So that would be my one pitch.
Follow the podcast at Branching Out Pod. Give us feedback. Let us know you're listening. And yeah, we'll see you all next week. Hey, inauguration is this week. Next episode, we're going to have a different president.
That will be weird. Is it this week?
Well, it comes out. Yeah.
Will the Republic still live when we come
from
Branch
Gamma? Don't put that out there.
Someone actually called me that. I said, we're going to be okay. There's fears, though.
I'm expecting at least one angry email about why we didn't do something about Biden being inaugurated. All right, folks. We'll see you next week.
See you, folks.